know, this month makes 3 years that I can call myself a retired man. And so one thing that I've learned retirement has taught me is that you seem to relive the past a whole lot. You share a lot of stories. And memories come back to you, and you want to tell those memories, or maybe good memories, maybe even some bad memories. But it does let you think back over the past situations, experiences, and maybe figure out any lessons you could have learned from those experiences, at least. I remember listening to my father tell some stories, and I couldn't help but always think, I've had no idea who you're talking about, but that sure was a fun story. Well, I've learned that I am my father, and so I have a story to share with you tonight. So before I tell a story, though, I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. It seems that men want to be their own moral compass. They want to say what they feel is right in God's eyes instead of looking into God's word itself and then learning what God says is the right or the wrong path to take in something. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Of course, this is Paul speaking here to the Corinthians. And I picked this verse because over the years, I have heard many people use this verse out of context to say that God does not disapprove of anything, that all things are lawful. I can do as I want, as I please, when I want. One man even used this verse to me one time to justify his use of marijuana. Another, his use of alcohol. So they would say, at least by their actions anyway, that their interpretation of God and his word, it's theirs to apply as they feel it fits, and apply it to the lives they feel that it fits in their life. But we, however, having a better understanding and being able to examine the word closer, we know this was not Paul's intent of this message whatsoever. And tonight I'd like to use an example, another story, of this misinterpretation to make my point. There was a man I knew who was incarcerated in federal prison. This man's name was Glenn, and I hope I have not told this story before, because my father would do that a lot also. But his name is Glenn. Glenn was actually raised in the Church of Christ. His parents actually came to visit us on one Wednesday night when they were in town to visit him one time. Glenn was incarcerated for bank robbery, even though he insinuated to me on one occasion that he probably robbed over a dozen banks. He only got caught and charged for the one bank, the one robbery. But due to it being an armed robbery, he received a 25-year sentence on that. If he had not fallen and tripped over the curb outside the bank during his escape, he says he may have never gotten caught. So this man does not sound like one who possesses a high volume of intelligence. However, this man will be one that always stands out in my mind of a man who could have accomplished many lofty goals in his life had he applied himself on the correct courses in life and made better decisions. If he had not used his talents for selfish or worldly gains, then he probably could have amounted to more in his life. So, yet this man, even though he made silly mistakes, this man I came to know as being a borderline true genius. Very, very intelligent man. My duties while working at the federal prison were to provide oversight of the industries program, education, vocational training, recreational programs, and Glenn was heavily involved in all these programs. Glenn would be one who would go out, he would take the lead in these programs and help other inmates become involved in these programs. So Glenn was the man around the prison yard. All who knew this inmate, staff-wise, had a certain amount of respect for his abilities, and all of us would talk and realize how great this man could have been if he could have only made better decisions and walked a straighter path. One example of Glenn's extraordinary abilities was in the industries program, where in this industries program, inmates produce furniture to sell back to other federal agencies, government agencies, and also military bases around the world. The goal in this prison industry program was to allow inmates to learn a work ethic and valuable skills, so when they get out in society, they live a more productive life and are able to manage things a little bit easier. Well, Glenn had never-ending variety of skills that never ceased to amaze us. He was promoted to a lead clerk position and gained more responsibilities. And on one instance, I recall that one of our vital machineries inside the industry program had ceased to operate. This shut down the whole whole process. So it was a highly functional, technical complex, 32-millimeter system where all the boring patterns have to match so a top can match an end panel, and it all has to be precise. Very little room for error. It had ceased to work. So after about a week of maintenance crews, an outside technician coming in to look at it, we had all but given up any hope on ever getting this machine to work again. Glenn comes to me and he says, "Can I just have a couple of hours to look at this? What's it going to hurt?" And so after thinking about it, I decided, well, okay, you can have your couple of hours as long as you have staff with you and they're watching what you do. And so he went outside to work on the machine. It wasn't more than an hour later, an inmate came running to my office saying, "Glenn fixed it, Glenn fixed it, it's all working again, it's working better than it ever has before." So I went to Glenn afterwards, and I said, "Glenn, how did you do this? How did you know how to fix this machine? Had you ever worked on this machine before, or machines similar to this before?" And he said, "No." He said, "The best thing I did was I read the directions. And once I understood the directions, I had a better idea of what I was doing and how it was supposed to work." And so I couldn't help but say, "Glenn, so you agree following directions using someone else's advice is the way to go?" And he finally admitted that to be true. So this opened the door for many other conversations with Glenn. He'd often told me that he no longer believed that God exists. And we would have many debates about that as well. And it would open up doors for himself and other inmates as well. But he then made a statement one day to me, and he said, "Besides, according to the Bible, all things are lawful for man. So what's it matter anyway? Who knows right or wrong?" So it bothered me that he would use the scriptures out of context and misapply Paul's message, intended message in that. And I couldn't help but think that, you know, perhaps if he'd understood the phrase a little bit better, maybe to say, "I am free to do anything," or "that I may do anything," he may have understood it better. So God does not direct us in our behavior by controlling our thoughts, using mind control, but he instills within us a free will. And his free will allows free choice, allows us to choose our actions as we decide. Previously in verse 9 and 10, this chapter that we read a while ago, Paul had listed some corrupting behavior that certainly will keep us out of the kingdom of God. So looking in 1 Corinthians 6:9, it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." So there are things that God says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then going back to verse 12 again, Paul's intention was to relate to us that he was not going to allow himself to be mastered by any of these human nature lustful desires. He was going to be mastered by those. We are to control ourselves because otherwise we're just serving ourselves. We're not serving God. We're just serving and trying to seek and please our own selves. So history, within the Old Testament as well, reveals that mankind, either under the power of Satan or human nature or of the world, he's overwhelmingly chose this path of death to become slaves to these wrong choices that we can make. Those choosing life, of course, make better choices, and there's a better reward awaiting for them. In 2 John chapter 1, it has one chapter, 2 John verse 9 and 11, "Whoever transgresses does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, also we're warned. We have a warning there. It says, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." This statement alone, if you think you're standing up for righteousness, standing up for life, you know, take heed. Ensure yourself that you're in that condition, that you are taking that stance, that proper stance, that you will know where you stand at all times. In verse 13 of that chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Yeah, God expects us to stand and make good choices. He also provides a way of escape for us that we can get out of any situation we find ourselves into. We do have a way of escape at all times. Now tonight I stand before you here talking, and I realize there's nothing I could have said that's new to you, nothing that the majority of this audience has not heard before. You're all very well versed in the Word and the ways of our Lord, but our hope here is that we not only possess God's knowledge at all times, but we can ensure that we have enacted on His Word as well. We have the knowledge of God's Word, and we have enacted on it to find that strength. We can all ensure that once we've enacted on His Word, that we're prepared people, prepared to face these situations we get ourselves into, prepared to overcome obstacles, stumbling blocks, any temptation or challenge that blocks us from our reward. We all know that sin is a devastating force, a destructive force that separates us from God. So He's cleared a path for us, provided all we need to endure on that goal toward heaven. Paul promotes that we maintain ourselves on the path of righteousness and toward the goal of serving Him first at all times. We all know that our own difficulties, we all know the difficulties within ourselves that we face each day, and we all know what that path of escape can be. We just need to look. So how tough can it be? Can we stand? No, enacting and immersing ourselves in God's Word places our trust within God. It puts it back onto God, our trust. And realizing that His promises outweighs all diversions, it outweighs the diversions, but also we can overcome and persevere, and we can press onward toward our goal. That's got to be our aim at all times. Going back to Glenn for a moment, although he possessed such great potential to do many wonderful skills that we were able to take advantage of to use from him, the wisdom to control his actions and to seek better choices, to choose life over death, that escaped him at that time. He did not possess that. He lacked godly wisdom. He lacked using God for counsel when he made his decisions. So my hope is that he did find this out. I don't know what's happened to Glenn since he departed Ashland, Kentucky. But I hope that he did find this out before it became eternally too late. Choices for some of you here tonight may yet remain undone. You may be facing choices in your life tonight. A change of course may be needed for some here tonight. It is our desire that you begin tonight to fully devote yourself in obedience to God's will, that you take control and that you yourself make sure you're equipped to make those good choices you need to make, are prepared. Romans 6, verse 15, what then, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves at whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? So if we choose that path leading towards sin, we are a slave to sin. We've made the wrong choice. If we choose that path leading to righteousness, obeying God's will, then we're on that course, our destiny for reward, eternal home in heaven. In Galatians 3:27, we're told in baptism we put on Christ. We put on Christ, that means that we are buried with Him. From Romans chapter 6, verse 4, buried with Him and raised as He was raised from the dead as a new creature. Tonight, if you have that need to be baptized, we hope that you will come forward and let us talk to you tonight. If you have, as a Christian, if you have fallen short, maybe made some wrong choices, it's not too late. All things can be corrected. We would like you to come forward and let us pray for you tonight. So as we stand and sing, please come forward.
He has a bird to your mountain, thou who art weary of sin, go to the clear flowing fountain, where you may wash and be clean. Fly, for the avenger is near thee. Call, and the Father will hear thee. He on his bosom
some will bear thee. O thou who art weary of sin, O thou who art weary of sin, he will protect thee forever, wipe every falling tear. He will forsake thee, O never, sheltered so tenderly there. Haste then, the hours are flying, spend not the moments in sighing. Cease from your sorrow and crying, the Savior will wipe every tear. The Savior will wipe every tear. You're now dismissed to your classes.